9 is too many, 6 is too little. The question of how many hours sleep we get and need each night is contested and often a cause of stress and anxiety. Too little, we're told, causes poor performance during the daylight hours and may even increase our risk of developing dementia. That's a worry. Two new sleep studies seek to debunk these notions and perhaps provide some relief to the chronically sleepless. Dr. Norman Swan is the host of RN's Health Report. Welcome back to Breakfast, Norman.
Thanks, Hamish. Welcome you back to Breakfast.
Thank you very much. I'm very pleased to be here. Let's start with chronic insomnia. How is it defined?
Well, it's defined as early morning wakening, difficulty getting off to sleep or waking up during the night, at least 3 nights a week for the past 3 months. And that you feel that it impairs your functioning and it bothers you. And that's critical, that it bothers you, because if you lined up 100 people on the street, same sort of age, you'd find a lot of people waking up and finding difficulty getting to sleep, but not, it doesn't bother everybody, or not everybody feels that it impairs their functioning. So it's your response to that that is actually critical in chronic insomnia.
So,
and I can say that as a chronic insomniac.
Yeah, so you don't sleep well?
No, I haven't slept well probably all of my adult life.
How many hours a night?
Probably 4 or 5, and they're broken.
And do you feel tired perpetually?
No.
So no. You're fine?
So I'm up and at. So sometimes during the day I get a bit of a lag. I'm famous in the office here for having a little nap about midday. A little nana nap. But I've had that nana nap for several decades.
But so you would not be described as a chronic insomniac?
Yeah, you self-describe as a chronic insomniac in a sense. I mean, I'm not decrying this. This is, people do find this incredibly disturbing. And it probably represents 20 to 40% of people who visit a general practice. It's maybe 10 or 15% of the general population. So it's a significant issue.
So,
and people get worried about it. They think, well, I am going to get dementia. I'm going to get heart disease. I'm going to get all sorts of things because I've been told I need 7 or 8 hours sleep a night and I'm not having it.
So tell me about this study into chronic insomnia.
So this study looked at treatments to see whether or not in the general practice setting you can actually get effective treatments for chronic insomnia and what you can do about it. And so what they looked at were randomized control trials, trials of what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, or cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. So cognitive behavioral therapy, people think of, if they know anything about it at all, is a therapist or a computer talking to you about your thoughts. And for example, if you've got depression, you've often got unrealistically negative thoughts about yourself, and it gives you a reality check on your thoughts and readjusts your thinking. Cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia is actually different. Now, it's different, and it's also different from sleep hygiene. So people are used to the story now. You've got to have a dark room, you've got to turn the alarm clock around, don't look at your mobile phone, and those sorts of things, and don't take caffeine or alcohol before you go to bed, and don't exercise too late at night. That's all sleep hygiene, and that can help you get to sleep. But it's not enough for people who've got chronic insomnia. So the four elements of what they use here in cognitive behavioral therapy is what's called stimulus control, and that's really making sure that behaviorally your bed is only for two things. One of which is sleeping and the other is sex. But basically, that's all your bed is for. If you're not sleeping, you get out of bed and you don't go to bed. And this is the next bit, is sleep restriction. You don't go to bed until you're tired. So in fact, you shorten the number of hours that you go to bed. So you go to bed later and later so that you're ready for sleep and you wake up at the same time every day. And the third thing is cognitive therapy, is that teaching you not to get too worried about waking up at night, and relaxation training. And with those elements put together, people actually do sleep better and they feel that they're not got chronic insomnia. They get to sleep faster, they don't wake up as much, they wake up feeling more refreshed. Interestingly, it doesn't increase the length of sleep. So if what you're worried about is, I'm not getting 7 or 8 hours sleep, and you're only getting 4 or 5, with this treatment, you'll still only get 4 or 5 hours sleep, but you'll feel better about it.
Feel you've got control over it?
You've got control over it. It's not waking you up. And also, it's readjusted your thinking that, in fact, 4 or 5 hours for me is probably fine. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. The story that you're going to get dementia from shortage of sleep, I think, is put around by sleep clinics who want to get more business out of this. I think that, essentially, we all have our individual patterns. So the bottom line here is that there is therapy that can work. usually given by a psychologist, you know, that you refer to from your general practitioner, and but it's got those four elements in it. It's not enough if you're chronically insomniac just to have a dark room and not look at your mobile phone during the night.
So the other study was looking into morning larks. Who are they? So
these are people who wake up 3, 4, 5 in the morning, every morning, and feel great.
Like me?
Yeah. You get paid to do that. So the question is, does it happen naturally when you're not at work? So these people do that, and they've done it all their lives, and they feel great. They're up and at them. People in business or academia love it because they've got all their work done before anybody else comes to work. But at 8 o'clock at night, you fall apart. You're really feeling tired. That's when you want to go to bed. It's not really a problem because for most people. For some people, it is because they feel socially isolated because I wake up in the morning when nobody's up and I go to bed before when everybody else is ready to party. And this study has looked at whether this is genetic or not and found, in fact, that it is in many people. And it's not that uncommon. Maybe 1 in 150 of the population get this. And in fact, it's strongly familial, probably what's called autosomal dominant. If your parents got it, you've got a 1 in 2 chance of having it.
So it's not just because you grew up in a household that was up and at them.
No, it's because you were sired by people who are up and at them, and you're up and at them because the up and at them is in your genes. And just very briefly, the same group is looking at the Margaret Thatcher, Winston Churchill phenomenon where you only need 4 hours sleep a night.
Yeah.
And there's this whole mythology, they slept a lot during the day and napped. In fact, there is a group of people who only need 4 or 5 hours a night, who do incredibly well, don't nap during the day, and it's also genetic. Mm.
I love this shift. I sleep better doing breakfast than any other time.
So you're a morning lark.
Dr. Norman Swan, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Health Report on Radio National at 5:30 tonight and tomorrow, or on the ABC Listen app.